This is Leo for KTWH. This Tuesday afternoon of July 25th is a cooler one in along the North Shore than it is for the rest of the state of Minnesota, and it's also a hazy day, but it's a great day with the cooperation of my guests coming down from Gooseberry Falls State Park to talk about a subject that I think we all think about a fair amount. I've got some thoughtful insights from Zach Elmore and Michaela Rice. Zach, you are the Naturalist Corps intern at Gooseberry Falls State Park this summer. You want to give people a heads up on what that really means, what kind of program this is and what you do in it?
Yeah, Naturalist Corps is, to my understanding, an internship kind of exposing students to like the core responsibilities of a naturalist in a park, giving us the opportunity to like learn and engage with the public as well regarding the outdoors, nature recreation, things like that.
Any observations from a few weeks of interacting with the public up the shore and the North Shore during our busy part of the year?
It's fun. The North Shore brings a diverse group of visitors to the park. The North Shore itself, wildlife, nature, plants, weather, geology, everything's so interesting and diverse up here. So as far as bringing information to the public, there's a lot of it that you can work with.
I see my partner in Wandering Nature News, Michaela, nodding her head as Zach speaks. Did he get it right?
Yeah, I think that's all pretty accurate.
Yeah.
One thing maybe to add is a little bit of the work we do around resource management. It's very small, but learning how to identify invasive species or what we'll kind of get into, wildlife conflict management, or a little bit of security ranger, you know, very minimal. With the massive amount of people that we have an emergency, you know, every few weeks that maybe one of us would respond to. So Zach's getting a wide range of situations that he's learning to handle, stuff that just might go on in a state park in general. So I think he's learned a lot so far.
So far, so good, then. And we're really glad to have you back a second time, Zach, because we had a great time with our loon special a couple weeks ago that I hope everybody checks out. We'll be running that again on, I think, August 4th at 9 a.m. Today, we thought we'd talk about the intersection of, you know, we're bipedal animals, we humans, but we find ourselves thinking of ourselves as different creatures than the rest of the animal world. So we've got the question, and Zach did a lot of prep, and I appreciate that a lot, about human-wildlife interactions, the good, the bad, the gray, the confusing. And why don't we start out by talking about a couple of the topics that you shared with me that you've observed real-world park events. I guess this is Gooseberry Falls in particular, that you've got some observations about a couple of critters.
Yeah, so the Franklin's ground squirrel being one that I get a lot of questions of, what is that and why are there so many of them in my campsite? So
are they particularly abundant in Gooseberry, or it's just a good center of its range and there are people and there's food and there's a confluence of factors?
Seems to be a lot of them. Wait, Caleb, what were you going to say?
Their range is not Gooseberry. It's not the North Shore.
Interesting. What does this mean? They've migrated here particularly because there are so many tourists throwing food around?
We think that's maybe why their population has sustained. They're more of a Kansas, wow, Iowa prairie ground, okay, squirrel. They're the first under the ground in the fall and the last ones to wake up. I read somewhere that there's possibly some winters where 90% of Franklins don't make it out of hibernation. They must starve or something. But I do think that they're pretty productive. There's tons of babies running around already. And yeah, I think they're pretty interested in people and picnic food. And they are pretty cute. They're very vocal. People think they're related to the prairie dog, which they kind of are, but not super closely. But they do make a lot of the same noises and have very similar mannerisms.
Do they come up on their hind legs?
Oh, yep, okay. And they make chirping, okay, noises. They're very on guard for the seagulls and the ravens. And so they're interesting to watch. They're out on the picnic floe. They're not shy. They're kind of densely. They get hit by cars a lot. They'll just sit there until they get rolled over.
Oh my.
So they're not maybe the brightest bulb in the box. which may add to, I don't know, their just kind of attitude. And yeah, people feed them, they get into tents. They're just rascals.
Since I can't get an opposing point of view from a Franklin's ground squirrel, I'll turn to Zach and say, so Zach, what was the takeaway? I mean, it sounds like not feeding them and being comfortable shooing them away, being in essence mean to them for their own good.
Correct.
Is,
yeah.
Is helpful.
That is helpful. Yeah, the Mikhail's right. They are cute. They are very tolerant of people, and I've seen them go into campsites with people with vehicles running and try to get into their things, you know, feet from people. So they're very, very tolerant of people, and keeping them out by shooing them away, being kind of consistent with that and not feeding them, which is kind of a pretty good rule for all wildlife for the most part, is just not to feed them.
Right. Humans are comfortable with hypocrisy. So if 8 times out of 10 you don't feed them, but the other 2 you do, what's the outcome going to be? They're going to be back looking for the, you're batting 200. Why not try again?
Exactly.
Is that fair? You also pointed out, and Michaela pointed out to me this, was it spring or early summer, that there had been a unique location for a beaver, perhaps a juvenile beaver at Gooseberry. You want to give us the update on that, Zach? We heard that, you know, the beaver had appeared between the middle and the upper falls, but we didn't know what became of it. I didn't ever hear the follow-up.
Yeah, so the beaver was there, and that was May, and then the beaver was gone, and we didn't know why or where it went. And then early July, I would say, people started saying, there's a beaver between upper and middle falls. And sure enough, it was a beaver in the same, kind of hanging out in the same places, kind of similar size. So it seemed likely that the beaver had returned.
Right.
And was there for a little while. That's a very public place.
I can't emphasize that the people who don't remember the last time they're in Gooseberry, but thousands of people a day are gawking at this beaver in a very unlikely place. And then what happens?
Yeah, and then, you know, you'll have individuals, visitors to the park, that might start harassing the beaver, which they did. It could include, you know, shouting, yelling at it, approaching it, throwing rocks at it, which, you know, results in us having to relocate the beaver to somewhere a little bit more private. Which is unfortunate to happen, that, you know, you want to get the beaver somewhere where it should be safe from the people, but also unfortunate that visitors come to the park and interact with wildlife in this way.
And I'm sure to somebody that isn't really well-versed in how to balance their impact on the wildlife rather than that the wildlife is there to serve their amusement, it can be, it's hard to start that conversation in the middle of them harassing an animal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the beaver has been relocated. So don't look. Have you heard that this has happened before, Michaela, that beavers have wandered this much into the middle of the maelstrom of the park? Because they're usually in the headwaters where they have access to better forage and places to cut trees down for dams. And
yeah, I think this was pretty unusual. And we thought that maybe there was unfortunate circumstances that got the beaver there in the first place, like a trip and fall over the falls. So it wasn't necessarily like he chose this location for the reasons that you mentioned. I know beavers are not uncommon at the park, but this particular lodging, you know, set up, you know, he was kind of starting to make some sort of lodge or something on the beach. There was willow sticks that were showing up in the same size and the same length, laid out the same direction on the bank.
Kind of going to be a futile effort, though, because it's not going to result in him having family there.
Yeah, so it was definitely strange. And so maybe it's working out for the best that the beaver has been relocated to a much larger area. But, of course, the circumstances.
Sure.
And Zach and I weren't there that day, really linked into the issue. And so, you know, this wasn't really a time where we were able to intervene and interact with the public and hopefully have them leaving with a lesson learned and a reason why we should be respecting those animals. So, and it's just a circumstance now, it's kind of on our brains, like, what's going to happen now? What should we be prepared to talk to the public about? And yeah, because it comes at unexpected times.
I like in your notes, Zach, you point out that seeing wildlife can be a privilege and a sometimes rare occurrence. I guess when people are in a long line of people walking up a trail all seeing a beaver, I mean, do we really have to explain to people that the park staff do not position animals for their, as displays.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Gooseberry State Park. Right. The boundaries are invisible lines drawn up on a map, and it's smack dab in the middle of the North Shore, and its
right.
wonderful diversity of wildlife that will come in and out. And a beaver in that location is rare, and seeing one in the wild can be rare. I mean, before this summer, in 27 years, I'd never seen a wild beaver. So it's rare, and it is a privilege, and it's unfortunate when things like that happen with the public, because it's unfortunate for the people that didn't, that missed out on that opportunity.
I've never seen a beaver out of the water like that either. He was foraging. We got to see him selectively choosing some small saplings on the bank,
right.
carrying them down to the water. That's such a cool thing to see any animal do forage at its own pace. And so, yeah, it was really a gift. And it's a bummer that we...
Yeah, it's yeah. nature's keystone species and engineer of hydrology
mm-hmm.
at work in kind of a misplaced... It's like getting a good job in the wrong place. And a very interesting interaction. And I hope that he is upstream. I say he. We don't know the sex of this animal, but it could have been a juvenile, perhaps, that was looking, because they do have to leave their lodge and establish new places.